And welcome back to Kidman Talk. This is Carl Bastian, a.k.a. the Kidologist, coming to you from Kidology.org, where our mission is, as it has always been, for over 25 years, to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. Today, we are going to be talking about the secret sauce. That's right. You've got a lot going on in your kids' ministry. Lots of programs, lots of resources, lots of volunteers, hopefully lots of kids. But there's the secret sauce, that one thing you've got to have that will make sure the kids are having a great time, they're learning, and that you've got all the volunteers that you need, right? Isn't that what we're doing? We're always looking for volunteers. I also want to tell you about an exciting brand new resources. I got an email yesterday said, first to know. So I am the first to know. So that means you're going to be the second to know if you don't already know about this amazing resource that you've got to pick up from a good friend of mine named Tom Bump. If you know him, then you're already the first to know. If you don't know Tom, you should know Tom, but you'll be the second to know. And I'm going to tell you about that in a little bit. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, driving in your car, chilling at home, or listening on the job, don't worry, I won't tell the boss. Sit back, chill, and relax, because it is time to talk Kidman. Hey, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm trying something new today. I'm recording this podcast here at the International Galactic Headquarters of Kidology. All right, it's just the podcast studio at my church. But I'm trying something fun over in the Kidology Facebook group. I'm actually live, going viral here. Oh, I've got 7 people, good friends, most of the names I recognize, hanging out with me in the Kidology Facebook group. So I can get some comments, questions, suggestions, or let me know my mic is off or my tie's crooked or anything like that during the podcast today. So we're going to have a lot of fun here today. So I'm really excited to be back. I know I've not done a podcast since October. I get the hate mail, or it's not hate mail, just nagging mail. It's like, hey, you haven't done a podcast in a while. And the main reason was that I have really been enjoying doing a coaching session. We did the Level Up Coaching. And so I dedicated every spare moment I had to pouring into my coaching students. On Wednesdays at noon every week, we did a Zoom coaching session. And then Marco Polos and text messages and emails and one-on-one coaching calls. And I really enjoyed that session that just took up every extra spare moment that I had. I really enjoyed pouring into my coaching students and had a lot of fun. And then I realized, boy, every Wednesday at noon, you know, I dedicated that time to them. And but that wrapped up. And so I was like, okay, I've got to get back to my podcast. And so I'm excited to be back with you today. So I want to share with you first, right off the bat, I try to do a featured resource. Sometimes it's a sponsor. And sometimes I just want to share a resource with you. This is not a paid sponsor. This is just a resource I want to make sure you're aware of. Now, I could do a whole 20-minute buildup and backstory. You know, every year I take a group of children's pastors to Yosemite National Park for what I've called the Unconference for Children's Ministry. No resources, just relationships. No workshops, just worship. No networking, just God working. And it's a time just for refreshment. And we've done this now. I think we're up to like 13 years. We got to skip 13 because of 2020, and I didn't do a 13, so last year was 14. We just skipped 13. And but one of my good friends, Tom Bump, who's been on that, I think 5 years, he's actually with me in the Facebook group. You can tell me, Tom, how many years you've been on it. I think you're one of the fivers that's been on the Yosemite Summit multiple times, 4 or 5 years. It had a huge impact in his life, and he really caught the bug of the need for ministry leaders to be refreshed and recharged, because like many of us, I mean, that retreat did not come out of me just being the super pastor who just handled ministry and I just needed to bless others. It came out of me needing refreshment and me needing to be rewired and rebuilt and just saying, you know, I'm going to take some other guys with me. And I love helping others rebuild, recharge, renew, refresh. We do a lot of rewords, our words on that unconference. And Tom's one of those guys that has been through the ringer. And he's been rewired and rebuilt and refreshed. And he, like me, loves pouring into others. In fact, so much so that he has actually started a ministry called Restoring Leaders. You can check that out. You can go to restoringleaders.org. He does coaching. He does retreats for pastors. And this is now a major focus and passion of his life. And in part, because of the healing he experienced on that Yosemite Summit, and also because of other things God's done in his life through others pouring into him, he has written a book called Valleys Over Mountains. And I don't want to steal all of his thunder. I've read his book. It's fantastic. It's now available on Amazon. But, you know, we just want to live on the mountain peaks, right? We want life to be mountain peaks, and we want to get out of the valleys as quickly as we can. And of course, right? And yet it's in those valleys that we grow the most, right? It's in those valleys that we're broken and we're more receptive. You know, if we didn't go through hard times, we would never be as strong. And while I wish I never went through hard times in my life, I'm oddly grateful for the hard times I went through, because that's when my character was refined. And that's when my marriage got strengthened. That's when my walk with God became deeper and more meaningful. And so while I would love to rewrite history, at the same time, I'm grateful for the things that I've gone through, because they have formed who I am today. And so that's why we need those valleys. We don't necessarily want to stay there forever, but we need those valleys. And so that's why his book is called Valleys Over Mountains, because God uses the valleys in our life. So I don't want to steal too much of it. Go to Amazon, search for Valleys Over Mountains by Tom Bump. It'll pop up. Get that book, read that book, buy two. It's a great Christmas present, especially if you have a friend, and we all do, you have a friend or two that's going through a challenging time in ministry. They might be in the challenging ministry, or maybe they're out of ministry and they're discouraged, they're hurt, they've gone through something tough. That's a book you can give them to encourage them and strengthen them in their ministry and help them to heal and get back to that place. You might even know someone who says, man, I'm done. I'm done serving God. I'm done in ministry. And you want to help them heal and get ready for what God has them next in ministry. So pick up that book, and it might be for you. It might be for someone else. That's why you buy two. So definitely pick that up, and it'll be fantastic. All right. So I want to make sure you know about that. You're now the second to know. I got to be first to know, you know, because I know Tom, and there's a long list, you know, of Tom's friends that are first to know. So I'm not that special, but I want to make sure you know. And now you get to bring some other people in to be third to know about mountains over valleys, right? Well, today I want to share with you the secret sauce of children's ministry, all right? We live in a world where there is a plethora, and yes, I know what that word means, and that's a movie reference. We live in a world where there's a plethora of children's ministry resources and books and podcasts and websites and all kinds of things. But sometimes we overcomplicate it, and we get to where, you know, we can become overwhelmed with it. And I want to share with you something today that I think sometimes gets lost in the midst of all of the hubbub and the stuff of ministry, and kind of bring it back to something that I think gets forgotten, that's right at the core, right at the center of children's ministry. So for those of you that are live, I want you to put in the comments there, I want to read, what is one of the things that you just think is essential? No wrong answers, doesn't have to be my secret sauce, but you just think is right in the middle, essential, core, something you think just is like, you can't forget this thing, right? And don't think spiritual, right? Of course, it's the Bible, it's Jesus, Holy Spirit, right? That's not what I'm going for, because of course it's Jesus and the Bible and the gospel. But just, what is just, man, you just can't miss this in ministry. But real quick, I just want to, if you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe, hit that alert button. You know, for years, I never monetized our YouTube channel because personally, I hate commercials. Like, you got to wait and then you got to hit the skip button. And you probably noticed every video has commercials, right? And that's because YouTube made the decision, hey, we're going to just monetize everything. And so even if you didn't monetize, which I never did because I just didn't want you to have to watch commercials, they've decided to monetize everything and just make money off everything. Hey, you can't blame them, right? That's their business model. So we are going to like, we just got to go ahead and monetize our channel. We might as well support our ministry with our videos, but we can't monetize it till we hit that 1,000 subscribers. So we've never pushed subscriptions because we just really use YouTube to host videos. We're not really trying to be a YouTube channel because we just embed everything on Kidology. So we're shy of that 1,000 subscribers. So if you're watching us on YouTube, or even if you're not, go to YouTube, go to youtube.com/ it's KidologyORG for .org. And please hit that subscribe button, hit the alert button so you'll know when we post videos. They're usually the podcast, or they're about a new product, or they're a sample of a video in our curriculum. And go ahead and subscribe. We're almost to that 1,000 where then we can monetize it. You don't get a lot, but hey, if they're going to make money, it might as well support the ministry. We're a nonprofit ministry, and we appreciate that. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and subscribe and leave a comment and mention how nice my tie is or something. And we appreciate that. It's always encouraging. And if you have any things you'd like me to address on the podcast or feedback, you can always email me. We're a small ministry. Like, I don't have like minions reading all the emails. If you write to Carl at KidmanTalk.com, it goes right to me. I may sometimes delegate to a support member to answer a question if it's one we get a lot, and we've got, you know, someone that can help you find a resource. I may delegate sometimes, but I do see them and I appreciate them. I got an email last week from a listener who'd been listening to the podcast for years. For decades, and she just wrote me those wonderful email, and I could tell she'd been around for years because she was referencing things from so long ago that I went into the database, I found her membership, I got her phone number, and I called her, and we just had such a wonderful time talking on the phone and sharing stories. And she's like, I can't believe I'm talking to Carl. I'm like, shush, 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 shush. Of course you're talking. I'm just a kids pastor, and I just loved sharing stories and swapping stories. And of course, I answered her questions she had about the IT Bible curriculum and do you have to do the lessons in order. And, you know, she had just some good support questions, and I just answered those questions for her, and I was happy to do that. But it was wonderful. You know, people always say, I bet you get so many emails. No, I don't, because people are busy. And so I love hearing from you. Don't feel hesitant, you know, to drop an email and just ask your questions. I enjoy them so much, all right? And so never hesitate to drop an email, drop a comment, and of course, share. Everyone's always saying share, but it does. It's a way to help and support our ministry and to let others know about Kidology and all the different helpful resources and everything that we have on there. All right, so let's dive in to the secret sauce. All right, let me see if I got any comments on here of what folks think are the great secret sauces here. Oh, I've got to click a button here for new comments. All right, there we go. Did I get a few here? Oh, nope. So they're multitasking. Oh, no, they are. It's in reverse. Relationships. Ooh, that is a good one, and that is true. And you look in Kidology, I've got a whole book called It's About Relationships. So important. That's a good one. And that is a secret. Okay, we could have two secret sauces, Bill. I'm sorry. That's good. And I've done whole podcasts on that. In fact, my number one liked post that I ever did on Facebook that got hundreds of likes and shares and everything was, you don't have a recruiting problem, you have a relationship problem. So look that article up, and it's really good. I'm itching to tell the story behind it, but I won't on this podcast. That's probably actually a better answer, Bill. So you win a prize. Email me, I'll send you a prize. That's a great answer. But what I want to talk about today, you're gonna misunderstand it the moment I say it, all right? I want to talk about the secret sauce of fun, all right? Now, the reason I say you're going to misunderstand it is I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about, all right? You're immediately going to assume that when I mention fun, that I'm talking about bringing the fun for the kids. Now, if you use my curriculum or you go to Kidology, or like Bill said, you got to become a member of Kidology. Oh, that was Tom. Thank you, Tom. Yes, of course, kids ministry's got to be fun, right? And I love fun. like I said, if you use my curriculum, you know I love games, I love costumes, I love skits, I love drama, I love, you know, object lessons. If it explodes, all the better. If it's messy, yes, kids ministry has to be fun. And there was a time when I had to preach that. If you go back through the archives of the podcast, there's podcasts about the importance of fun. And I got an acronym for fun. You got to do things that are funny. You got to do things that are unexpected. You got to do things that are new. And you used to have to preach fun because a lot of kids' ministries were not fun. They were boring. All right, old kids need the Bible. Just give them Bible, Bible, Bible. And I'm like, well, yeah, they need the Bible. But if they're bored out of their head and we give them the impression that God is boring and the Christian life is boring, they're going to gravitate toward what's fun. And unfortunately, the world tries to say that sin is fun and that the world's more fun and that God's boring. And that's not true. Jesus said he came to make our joy complete, right? So I'm already going into that sermon. That's not what I'm talking about, because people have gotten the message. Most curriculum today is fun. Most children's ministries are fun, right? It's wonderful. You go around, environments are becoming more fun. Curriculums are getting more fun. They're getting more thematic. All right, there's most kids' clubs now have games. So there's work to be done, and there's still some boring areas of children's ministry that need some work. And yeah, we've got some volunteers that need to lighten up a little bit. But I think we've made pretty good inroads in fun as far as the kids having fun. The secret sauce I'm talking about is not the kids' fun. It's the leader's fun. I think sometimes we still have a danger in the leaders having fun. I think there's still a danger in us not having fun. In other words, we're building fun for the kids, but I often see leaders taking ministry way too seriously. And I see this in a lot of ways. I see this even in Facebook. You know, I'm going into Facebook groups and my own and other ones, and they're arguing about stuff, you know, and getting bent out of shape over things and getting into theological discussions. And sometimes I'm just like, ooh, I want to comment. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to scroll on by, because they're just getting all bent out of shape and worked out of things. And that's one thing. That's social media, right? You know, the politics of our era has made everybody argumentative and everyone dogmatic and everyone, you know, that's let's just set that aside, because that's just the ugly side of a non-anonymity online. But even on Sunday mornings, let me ask you a question. When things go wrong on a Sunday morning, and you're like, yeah, that's every morning, right? it's how do you respond? Do you get frustrated, or is it funny? See, when people come to observe my children's ministry, and I get that because of Kidology, you know, I'm viewed as a guru or an expert in kids' ministry. And so I have people show up at my church sometimes, and they've got their clipboards, you know, and I don't mind that. I appreciate it. It's honoring. But what I get a kick out of the most is their response, because I hate to pop anyone's bubbles out there, but people come to the Kidologist church, and they come with this expectation that because I've written books or have a podcast or a big website full of great ideas, which aren't all my ideas, by the way, user-submitted ideas, please go to Kidology and hit the Submit an Idea button and submit your ideas. Can I just quickly say, I did not start Kidology.org because I'm an expert in children's ministry. I started it when I was a green thumb who had no clue what I was doing, but I loved the internet, and I didn't have a clue what I was doing, and I thought maybe if I share my ideas, someone else will share theirs, and I can learn. I started Kidology to get ideas, not to give ideas. And if I'm an expert, and I suppose maybe I am, I'll just say I'm only an expert because I've been doing this a long time. Like, if you're not an expert after 10, 20 years, you're in the wrong line of work, because you better be an expert after 20 years because expertise just comes with time, right? So I started Kidology to get, not to give. And over time, I've given a lot, but I've gotten more than I've given. All right. So I totally lost my train of thought. But anyway, what was I talking about? Someone in the comments, tell me what I was talking about. So what was I? Oh, so I've completely lost my train of thought because I was talking about the origin of kinology. So anyway, I completely lost my train of thought. Someone help me out here. Hey, Barney, I'm glad you're here. You weren't listening long enough. You don't even know what I was talking about. And I got this rabbit trail. Anyway, we take it so seriously. And oh, the people that come to my church. Thank you. No one saw. I remembered that. So people come and they've got their clipboards and their expectation, because I'm perceived as this expert. That's what I was trying to define, expert in children's ministry. You ought to be after a while. They're expecting this smooth running program. They're expecting the timing to be amazing. They're expecting nothing to go wrong. And what I get a great kick out of at the end is they come up to me and they're very hesitant. They want to be very complimentary. They want to tell me what they liked and what they thought was funny. But they always say the same thing. And I love it. They go, Carl, I hate to say this, but the thing I enjoyed the most about your children's ministry is everything that went wrong. They're like, I love that when you said, and now the skit. And now the skit. The skit. I'll be right back. And I run backstage. It's time for the skit. You know, and I come back. The skit people are coming. Or, and now the slide. And Zachariah's response was, and the kid in the sound booth's got his head down, and I'm like, the slide. You know, they love that my kids' church is not smooth, it's not perfect, that things go wrong, right? Because it, I guess it validates that, you know, even the kinologist kids' church doesn't run perfectly smooth, you know. And I could get frustrated. I get, but so my question is, how do you respond when things don't go right? Do you get frustrated because you want this perfectly smooth, amazing kids' church? Or are you just having fun? You know, are you just, do you just laugh when things go wrong? Because I got to tell you, the magic with the kids is if you're just having a blast, if you're just laughing, there's camaraderie with the leaders, and things are going raw, and you're just cracking up. The kids are on the edge of their seat. They will learn twice as much if you're just having fun teaching them, because then you can get serious. You could pull them in. That element of fun, yes, the lessons need to be fun, but more important than the lessons being fun is that you are having fun, that you're having a blast. I wish I could even just give you examples of just the camaraderie between me and the leaders, the nicknames I give the leaders, the jabs, that we have to be careful that we're respectful, you know, but the jabs between the leaders, the teasing, like one of my worship leaders, her name is Sarah, and I call her Lady Sasa, and then Paula felt left out, so we started trying to call her Lady Papa, but that just didn't work as well, and one of my leaders right now, he's got a broken foot because he fell in a prairie dog hole during trunk or treat carrying a big tote of candy. And so I changed his name tag to Cripple, you know. And so then he did a practical joke on me. And one of our leaders, I won't say her name in the podcast, does not like balloons. And so we make balloon jokes around her. And so we're just always teasing and joking. And they know that these leaders, we just all love each other, and we're teasing each other, and we're joking around each other, which, by the way, is an incredibly secret way to recruit, because people want to be a part of a team that just love each other and joke around and have fun, and they want to be in on that, because no one is just doing a duty or a job or an assignment, because we're just having a blast. In fact, I sometimes feel bad because we do some things in our lessons that are so fun that don't make it in the curriculum because we think of them like that week. Like in the IT Bible curriculum for the last series, we were doing the Zootopia, and we were doing the fish with the coin in the mouth. And so we do this bear puppet, which isn't in the curriculum because it fits our outpost theme. So Micah does this Reggie bear, and it's this big bear puppet. And so he was going to go fishing and bring me a bear for the lesson. And we got this crazy idea at the last minute that he would come back, instead of coming back with a fish, like I asked him, with a coin in the mouth, he went to McDonald's and he came back with a flail fish. And so he brings me the sandwich and I'm like, I told you to go get me a fish. And he's like, well, I did. I went to McDonald's and I got you a fish. And so I told the whole Bible story with a flail fish. And every time I said, and so John went to McDonald's and he got a flail fish for Jesus. And I'm, you know, like, I'm always acting like they're ruining my lesson and the kids are laughing. And I'm like, this is not very biblically accurate, you know. And so things are always ruining the lesson. And but the kids know that I'm straying from the Bible, you know. And so we're just having fun, and I'm reaching in the sandwich, and I'm pulling the coin out of the flail fish that's got tartar sauce on it. And anyway, my point is you got to be having fun. You know, the way we welcome our guests with the TP bazooka, you know, we're shooting the – by the way, if you need plans for the bazooka, just go to kidology.org/TP bazooka, and you'll find the plans there. They're from my good buddy from help me out in the comments. You guys all know, who it is. All my buddies in the comments. I'm having a senior moment. Oh, don't tell him. Oh, from Kids Blitz, Roger Fields. I don't know if he's the inventor, but he's the popularizer of the TP Bazooka, and he gave us the plans, and it's totally like, I don't even think you have to be a member, because I just didn't want to make it proprietary in any way. But you can make yourself a TP bazooka that Roger Fields gave us the plans for and shoot that out. See what happens if you leave children's ministry, Roger? I start to forget your name. Oh my goodness. So, but yeah, just make it fun. All right. Do it with the outfits you wear, by dressing goofy. You make it fun with your set. The pace of your ministry makes it fun. Keeping things moving. We recently, and I talked about this in the last podcast, where we tweaked our set to where we just keep things moving, keep them going constantly. That's important. Just make sure you are having fun. If you're having fun, the kids will be having fun, and laughter needs to be all around, and it will be a great time. All right. Hey, I'm going to read a comment here from Jeff Bradley. Says, I remember, Carl, at my church one Sunday, I was supposed to demonstrate an egg that would not break in my lesson. Oh, he did this. Well, it did not go right, and he broke. Oh, I remember that. That's when I was visiting your church years ago, and the egg broke and went all over the room. Yeah, when object lessons go bad, that is hysterical. We have two services. We've had things go bad during the first service, and we've just repeated it during the second service. And then we tell the kids, well, here's what was supposed to happen. and then we'll talk about the object lesson. And they will remember the object lesson sometimes better because your object lesson totally tanked. And it's so much funnier. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I want to drop it on the comments here a little bit. And see, Bill says, I always think of things last minute, and then I'm scrambling to find what I need to pull it off. Yeah, and it's just having fun. I mean, I have run to my office to get a prop because I think of it last minute, you know, we've wrestled with things. Or I'm backstage making noise, and then the sound people are playing explosion noises on the computer. Just don't lose that aspect of playfulness and having a blast. And I love telling the kids personal stories that just come up that are funny. Last week, I told them a story when I was a kid and I caught my bed on fire. And I always make the kids raise their hands and promise that they're not going to tell their parents the story that I'm about to tell them. And of course, they're all going to tell their parents as soon as the parents come in. Pastor Carl caught his bed on fire as a kid. I don't know. Now you're making me think I have to tell that story. Only if someone in the comments begs me to tell the story. and they love those personal stories. Shows you're a fun-loving person. Tell stories that are embarrassing. embarrassing about yourself. If you do something stupid during the week, you might be really flaming mad at yourself on Wednesday because you did something stupid and maybe it was a costly mistake to you. But by Sunday, be able to laugh about it and tell that story to the kids. Oh, good. No one's asking for the story of catching my bed on fire as a child. And just have fun. If you are having fun, the kids will be having fun. Remember, in big church, production's important. Production value. And, you know, everything going smoothly is great. In kids' church, production value, it's important. We need to plan. We need to have our slides ready. We need to have the microphones working. When my mic goes bad and we're having a battery issue, and it's probably because someone forgot to put fresh batteries in, as soon as my battery goes out, I just start moving my mouth. I just start mimicking. If you're listening on the Apple podcast, I was pretending to talk and moving my mouth. Sorry, you don't get the visual effect. And then they bring me batteries. I'm still talking without moving my mouth. The kids are laughing hysterically. And you just put it down, and it doesn't work. And then you put the batteries in, and you're turning it off and on. That two-minute distraction over the batteries and the microphone ends up being the thing the kids go home talking about because you're having so much fun, all right? You just have to have fun with it. All right, Doug took the bait. All right, I got two stories for you. I got this funny story, then I have a funny touching story about when Jesus fell off the cross that I'm going to end with, and then we're going to wrap up the podcast for today. So I will, tell the story so I don't make the same mistake. All right, Bill wants to know it as well. All right, so I have a lot of fire stories. I could do a whole podcast on fire stories. Lucky I didn't burn my house down as a kid. The one quick one is kids are fascinated with fire. I don't know if girls are, at least us boys are. I decided to be safe and build a fire, so I built it in a coffee can as a child. This is not the bed story. And so I was very safe. I got a coffee can. I put it on the floor. I put papers in there, and I lit it on fire. And I thought I was being very safe until I smelled the carpet burning. So I picked up the coffee can, saw the singed circle in the middle of our living room floor, began to run around the house with the coffee can as the fire got bigger. And then my hands were burning. And then every door I went to, I realized I didn't know how to open the door holding the burning coffee can. I finally did make it outside. I burned my hands. I burned the carpet. That was one of many fire stories. I was telling them the story of Christmas morning when I got my first unicycle and I leaned it against the heater. And in California, we had these space heaters in the wall with vents, and I leaned my unicycle against the space heater. My unicycle burst into flames. My dad was grabbing the unicycle, and he was running around the house with a unicycle with the seat on fire, and that was hysterical. That was the story I was telling Sunday morning. The kids were loving that story. Anyway, I turned it into a five-minute story. And then I said, well, at least it wasn't as bad as when I caught my bed on fire. And, of course, they wanted to hear that story, so I had to make a promise never to tell their parents the story. But I got a magic trick as a kid, probably around 10 years old. It's an actual magic trick. Some of our magicians in the chat may have this. It's called the torch through the arm trick. It's an actual magic trick. I'm not going to give away the secret, but I saved up my money. I paid probably $50 to $75 for this trick. And it comes with an arm sleeve, this tube, sorry, that goes through, that you put your arm through. And it's a good size tube. And then it comes with a torch. And there's a hole on both sides of the tube. And then you visually pass this flaming torch through the tube. And it miraculously does not burn your hand. Now, there's a gimmick that keeps your arm safe. I'm not going to give it away. You can use your imagination. But from the stage, it's very convincing that how this flaming torch goes through the tube, but does not burn your arm. So I buy this trick. I'm in my bedroom. I'm not being sneaky or bad because I bought this magic trick with my parents' permission, and I'm learning the trick. So I set down the magic tube. And it came with the torch. It's a brass torch. The end of it looked like a machine gun. It had little holes in it. And inside, you would unscrew it, and it was filled with cotton. And the cotton would soak up lighter fluid, so it would really, you know, have this torch. And it was real fire. And then it also came with what was called a lighter torch. So it was a piece of wood with a wire, thick wire, and a cotton swab on the end. And the lighter torch was used to light the torch. And then it came with, I had to buy my own lighter fluid, which I had with permission. I tell the children, do not play with lighter fluids. Very dangerous. But I had my parents' permission. And I had to get my own cigarette lighter. So I'm in my room, magic tube, torch, lighter torch, cigarette lighter, lighter fluid, and then I had a glass cup, which I filled with lighter fluid. So I'm reading the instructions, and it says, pick up, I didn't put the tube on my arm yet. It said, pick up the torch and soak it in the lighter fluid. So I soak it in the lighter fluid. Pick up the lighter torch and soak it in the lighter fluid. All right. And it said, now pick up the cigarette lighter. I'm like, oh, so I put the magic torch down and I pick up the cigarette lighter, turn it on, click, and light the lighter torch with the cigarette lighter. All right, that's easy enough. Click. So I'm holding a ball of fire, right? So I put the cigarette lighter down. It says, pick up the magic torch. Oh, okay. So I pick up the magic torch. Light the magic torch with the lighter torch. Oh, okay. Easy enough. Touch them together. So now I've got a torch, a flaming torch in both hands. It says, now pick up the magic tube and place it over your arm. But I'm like, okay, I've got two flaming torches in my hands. Is Jamie Doyle watching this? Since I know he would know this trick. And I'm like, okay, I'm holding two flaming torches. I don't have a third arm. So I'm thinking, well, I don't need the lighter torch anymore because I've got the magic torch that's going to go through the magic, arm thing. So I thought, well, I don't need the lighter torch. I'll just blow it out. Well, this is where I'd explain to the children. The reason you don't play with lighter fluid is you can't blow out lighter fluid. So I take a big breath and go on the lighter torch. Well, lighter fluid blows off of the lighter torch, blows onto my bed, and my bed bursts into fire. So now I'm holding two torches, and my bed's on fire. So I'm like, okay, this is bad. So obviously blowing it out doesn't work. My bed's now on fire. I need to deal with the bed. I'm aborting the magic trick instructions. I run to the bathroom, and I throw both torches into the sink, and I turn on the water. Well, children, the other reason you don't play with lighter fluid is water does not put out lighter fluid. Lighter fluid floats. So when I turn on the water, the lighter fluid blasts, floats up onto the sink, and now the sink's on fire. Now, this is not dramatic. Lighter fluid floats, but there's flames on the sink. So I'm like freaking out here watching it, and I start patting it with a towel or something, and it goes out relatively quickly. But I remember that my bed is still on fire. So I look around for something to put water in. Now, granted, I could have yelled for mom or dad, but I figured I would probably be in trouble at this point. So I'm trying to handle this on my own. So I reach around, and there's a little holder with Dixie cups. So I grab some Dixie cups, fill them with water, and I run back to my room, and my bed's still on fire. Now, granted, it's not a big dramatic. When I tell the story, I have a graphic of a bed engulfed in flames. It's a little bit of an exaggeration. But the bed was on fire, small flames and growing. So I start throwing Dixie cups, at the bed, and I run back, fill the Dixie cups, left the water running, and throw the Dixie cups. And I eventually got the fire out. Now, my mom had just bought me, oh, Tom likes my sound effects. So my mom had just bought me a brand new bedspread, and it was very nice. It was a solid black with gray pinstripes. The other side was reversible. I explain what reversible means to the children. The other side was all silver with black pinstripes. She'd asked me which I like better. I said I like the black with the gray pinstripe. But today I decided to reverse it. So I reversed it. I made my bed and put all the magic stuff away. And I sat down at my desk and I probably started reading my Bible or something. So my mom comes in the room. I honestly did not think about this for probably a decade, that my room probably reeked of melted plastic, because smart people figured out that kids needed flame retardant bed materials, right? So this was not like cotton that blew up. It was like this melted, it burned, but it was like a melted, ooey, sticky thing. And I turn it over and I did lie to my mother. My mom asked me, why is your bedspread reversed? So I lied. I admitted to the kids. They all gasped. You lied. But I say, well, I thought I'd, you know, do black for 1 week and then silver the next week and kind of reverse it. And my mom went right over to the bed and flipped it over and she saw. So she called Doug. And I always tell the kids, if mom calls dad by his first name, you know you're in trouble. So Doug came up to my room and he named after Doug Olson, by the way. And my dad, to his credit, remained very calm. He said, what were you doing? I explained. He looked at the instructions and he said, Patty, using first names, of course, these instructions are very poorly written. Yes, thank you. And he says, I don't know how he could have avoided this. Seems to me that I'm going to need to contact the magic company and explain to them that the lighter fluid, the lighter torch is not necessary. He could have just used the lighter, the cigarette lighter to light the lighter torch. Thank you, Dad. So I didn't get in a lot of trouble. I was admonished for lying, but I got out of that pretty unscathed. So anyway, that was a lot of fun. The last story I want to leave you with tonight, just a fun story, came up in a Facebook conversation. We were talking about funny things that happen during Christmas pageants. Someone shared a funny story about Jesus's loincloth falling off during the crucifixion scene. Unfortunately, there was a modern loincloth underneath the costume loincloth, and how one of the Roman soldiers helped Jesus with his loincloth. That was a funny story that somebody shared. Ron Little, I think it was I think it was happened to him. I think his wife shared the story. Great story, Ron. Bill likes that story. I was in a Christmas pageant years ago as an adult, as a kid's pastor. Story's really not about me. I was just a disciple. I was like, I'm busy at Christmas time with all the kids stuff. I'll be in the grown-up production, but I want no speaking lines. So I got to be a disciple. A nameless disciple. I wasn't even Peter, James, or John. I was like Bartholomew or some nameless disciple, Thaddeus maybe. And my only part was to go up at the foot of the cross when Jesus was dying for our sins and to cry. And I didn't even have to actually cry because I just had to get the foot of the cross. And I remember I was coaching the other, you know, noobs. You just got to shrug your shoulders. Like if you just get down there, you just shrug your shoulders, you know, shake your, and you look like you're sobbing. Like, you know, I had this down. So I was down at the foot of the cross and I was all into it. I was crying. And Jesus was up there dying. Now we had a wonderful cross that was lifted up and then a peg was dropped in. And Jesus guy, he was up there and we had these giant nails that he just had to put between his hands, like Nanu Nanu, movie reference or TV reference. And there was a wood slat that he had to stand on with his legs bent. Well, I suppose Jesus never was at a dress rehearsal where he was on the cross through the whole singing and everything. Because in the middle of the dramatic song of Jesus dying for our sins, Jesus... his legs buckled. And if you know the true medical story of how Jesus actually died, I'm not going to get into that. It's very heart-wrenching, very serious. During a funny story, I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, his legs buckled. Well, this happened to the actor. His legs cramped. He fell off the cross. And he landed. I mean, I'm down there with my shoulders going, and I'm doing my sobbing, my incredible Oscar-worthy Grammy-worthy acting. Jesus lands on me. Now you could hear like laughter and then muffled because you know no one wants to laugh at Jesus falling off the cross, right? But it was kind of funny. Jesus falling off the cross. So there's like this hush in the audience and the singing kind of went bad. But then they got their composure and they kept singing their serious song. And we watched as Jesus climbed back up on the cross. He had to climb up and he had to get up there and he had to turn around on the wood thing. Because the first time they lifted him up. This time he had to climb back up there. And you know, everyone's thinking, this is bad. This is all anyone's going to remember is Jesus falling off the cross and climbing back up. Well, my wife's dad was the pastor, incredible pro. He comes up at the end, and everyone's kind of wondering, is he going to acknowledge it? Are we all just pretending Jesus didn't fall off the cross? He comes up. He tells the most beautiful story, and I can't do it justice, but he tells the story of a grandfather sharing the Christmas story with his grandson and how Jesus came as a baby, but he didn't stay a baby. He grew up and he, you know, made the blind see and the lame to walk, and he fed crowds, and, you know, he just tells this beautiful story. And then, but he came to die, and how he died on the cross, and he's telling the story, and he says the grandson looked up at him and he said, you know, children ask the silliest, oddest questions, and the grandson said to his grandpa, but grandpa, what if Jesus had fallen off the cross? And the grandpa said to him, oh, son, if Jesus had fallen off the cross, he loves you so much, he would have climbed right back up just for you. That's how much he loves you. Oh, man, there wasn't a dry tear in that place that night. And, of course, he went into a gospel presentation being the soul winner he was. And he said, you guys know that Jesus loves you so much, he would climb on that cross just for you. And, oh, man, he gave a gospel presentation, and tons of people got saved that night. And I was sharing that on Facebook, and I just thought, you know what, that's a story that needs to be told and reminded again, that Jesus loves you so much, he would climb back up on the cross just for you. Isn't that a beautiful story? It's also the best save in the history of church ministry. He took a disaster of Jesus falling off the cross during the most important, serious, somber moment of a Christmas production and turned it into a tear-jerking moment. And it was amazing. So we went from talking about the element of fun to a really touching memory from my father-in-law, who turned 88 on Sunday, and we went out and celebrated his 88th birthday. An incredible man who has led countless people to Christ and discipled them, founded one of the largest missionary planted churches in Asia, in the heart of Manila, called Green Hills Christian Fellowship. It's planted many daughter churches. I forget how many churches he planted. He planted, it's like 6 or 8 churches, and then that church planted multiple other churches. Incredible man of God, amazing, amazing man. I was privileged to work with him. In fact, his discipleship book called How to Grow, that he and his wife PJ wrote and used to disciple so many, was the foundation for the Awesome Adventure book that my wife and I created that's used to disciple children. We wrote a children's version of his discipleship book called How to Grow. So it's pretty amazing. So I thank you for joining me today here on Kidman Talk, number 163. As always, love your feedback. You can write to me at carl@kidmantalk.com. Please comment, subscribe, share. If there's a topic you would love me to address on a future podcast, please let me know. I love to respond to your questions. If there's a way I can equip and encourage you in your ministry, do let me know. And don't forget to go to Amazon.com, search for Valleys Over Mountains by Tom Bump. It's a book that I know will encourage you. Maybe buy it for a gift for a minister that you know is going through or has been through a tough ministry. It might just be what they need to refresh them as they head into the new year. I'll see you again on the next podcast. Thanks.